You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending. With real-time notifications, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
It's Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on You Better from BetQL.
Oh, please, Rick, bring this up. I like how, like, we're, like, in tune on the stuff, and we both pick up on the same stuff that we like in these songs. Wait for it. Beats
how could you
drop
know?
Here.
All right, here we go.
Guess what, Ken? It is You Better, You Bet. Nick Costos, Ken Barkley.
It
we're
is?
Here with you on Bet.
It is?
You get the full show intro 20 minutes into it since you couldn't hear my microphone to start. You know what every game is here, Ken, on BetQL? It's Game 7. You know why? Because when you bet on a game, that game becomes Game 7. It becomes the Super Bowl. That's what we give you here on BetQL. We're the only BS that you get. Bets and sports. Live Odyssey.com. Live on the Odyssey app. Live on Odyssey stations nationwide as part of BetQL. YouTube.com/Odyssey Sports. Twitch.tv/BetQL. Ken and I get set to bring you the wagertainment for the next 3 hours and 40 minutes here on BetQL. Presented by Bet Rivers. Deposit $250. You'll get that $250 match. Check out BetQL for all the tools you need to take down the sports books. That's a wonderful Wednesday, September 15th in the year of our Lord, 2021. Twitter, You Better, You Bet. Instagram, YBYB Sports. Twitter and Instagram for me, at the Costos. Twitter for Ken Barkley, at Locky Lockers. And four fantastic guests coming up today. Ryan Noonan, 4 for 4, director of betting. He's fantastic. Prop bets for the weekend in the National Football League. Brian Baldinger, Odyssey Sports NFL insider. He's amazing. Coming up in hour number two. The great Evan Silva, the fantasy football goat from Establish the Run, in hour number three, breaking down all the big games this weekend in the NFL, and America's College Football insider, Brett McMurphy from the Action Network. Probably going to mock me for missing so many days and also giving us college football picks for this weekend. Going to get to it moved momentarily. All the line movement you need to know about in the NFL, including side in Kansas City and Baltimore on Sunday night. A game of whatever you prefer, including which home dog Ken and I like more this weekend in the NFL, Philly or Indianapolis. We'll talk our favorite comedy sketches of all time in honor of the late, great Norm MacDonald. Power Hour, Final Hour, all our bets for tonight. Day 3 of Lochmas, Major League Baseball, and golf bets for the Fortinet, the Fortinet, the Safeway, whatever the hell you want to call it, Silverado out in California. Ken, we'll get to it moved in a second here, but how are we today, man? Since we didn't get to do our general BSing to start the show here, how are we feeling?
I feel good, obviously midweek, so, you know, not a lot going on. Getting ready for the weekend, though, and doing as much preparation, as much betting as possible, and have a ton of bets already in the queue, which we talked about a lot in yesterday's show. We'll talk about more today. Had an episode of Storage Wars on. Obviously, everybody's familiar with the show now. It's been around for like a decade, but it's, you know, this 30-minute, like, just... It's so dumb, but it's dumb in a very specific way every single episode, so there's like something enjoyable about it. My favorite part about the show, so for people who don't know, it's 10-second synopsis. It's basically like bidding on old storage units, hoping that there's good stuff in them.
The show is fascinating. I've seen a couple episodes of it. It's and it's one of those shows where like an episode can't be bad. Like they could do
there'll be one moment
of the show and it's going to be
one moment. Right. There'll always be one thing. So it's, you know, these guys who own secondhand shops and stuff all over. I think it's in like Vegas is where a bunch of the shops are located. And they go and they bid on these storage units that have been abandoned and they hope there's good stuff in them and they'll find stuff and they'll take it to be appraised and they'll figure out what it's worth, et cetera, et cetera. And the goal is to make more from the unit that you pay than you pay for it. So there was one on. And my absolute favorite part is the assigning of value to items that makes absolutely no sense and is completely inconsistent. So like, let's say I went and I bought a unit for $200 and I would open up the door and I go inside. I'd be like, all right, what do we have here? All right. Like a old package of rusty hangers. That's like $55. And then like 55 goes on the screen and gets added as if it was like, we just sold it for $55. This guy was like,
grifters.
Yeah, they just assign value. Like,
they should
this
be doing
guy...
sports betting content.
They'd yeah, well, that's what I was about to say. That's what I was going to say. So this guy pulled out this like Target Walmart level like glass coffee table, and he's like, oh, it's a C note right there. And I'm like, no, it's it wasn't a C note at Walmart last week. Like, what are we talking about? So I just, that's my absolute
that's
favorite thing
lean.
Is the assigning of value.
That's his lean. His lean is that
it's worth $100. My lean is like 100, but it also could be like a 1999 manufacturer, you know, MSRP basically. So I just love the complete ignoring of what anyone is willing to pay for any of these items. And anyway, my point was going to be someone found all this old gambling equipment in the locker room the show before I was watching this
gambling
roulette wheel from
like what? Okay.
Like an old roulette wheel with like the brackets torn off of it or whatever. So the guy comes into appraise and he's like, oh my God, this is from like 1950. And the guy goes, all right, well, like what could I get for it? And it's like a roulette wheel with like no number 2 and 13 and no brackets. And the guy's like, oh, like $300 from who? Like, who's gonna walk in and buy this?
I don't know. Man.
Like,
a lot of
where did the money come
there.
From?
They might be right about that. There's a lot of idiots out there, man.
I don't know. Well, 13 is an unlucky number. Maybe you don't want it on your roulette wheel. I don't know. But I love the show, but I also hate the show. It's sort of the combination of those two things. Okay. It's also only 30 minutes, so it's very easily consumable.
Okay, there you have it. A little storage word. The strangest opening to a show we've ever done here. Let's get it on the rails.
Well, I prefer it to nothing, which was the opening that we did last thing.
Yeah, so I gotta tell you, hell of an opening 11 minutes of the show today. All right, let's get to some line movement from Tuesday to Wednesday, getting you set to bet week number 2 in the National Football League. Rick Camp, I think it moved.
I think it moved.
Give us like two or three more.
I think it moved. I think it moved. I think it moved.
At some point, we need Bill. Like,
yes.
Yeah.
I think it moved.
Really. Bill, can you give us that please? It moved. That was a little bit higher than we usually get.
Yeah, that's okay.
That's okay.
Good octave.
Okay.
Good octave.
All right. Let's start. It moved, Ken, with Thursday night football as my New York football Giants visit the Washington football team. What can you tell us about line movement in this game? Giants, Washington, Thursday night.
I feel like you and I are going to get some CLV, and people that bet with us on Monday afternoon, I think, when we talked about this game, are hopefully going to be in the same situation. As basically the consensus number in this game is Washington -3, with some juice on the Washington side, but even the 3.5s have started to basically disappear off the board. This has coincided with the total also moving down in the game. So 40.5 is the price in this game. 40.5 is the number in the market right now. We had some Giants injury news. We had some Giants injury news, which I don't think was like that surprising, but like Evan Ingram's going to be out, Saquon questionable, which was sort of updated today basically as well.
They shouldn't play him. They really shouldn't. They should send him for this game and bring him back next week.
I think I agree with you. If you're ever wondering like, well, why is the total coming down? Okay, well, it's Taylor Heinicke for Fitzpatrick, and the Giants may not play some of their offensive players, including Saquon. Okay, cool. You also have, I think, still the perception in the market that Washington is an outstanding defense. Still the perception in the market that the Giants are like a clunky, inefficient, slow offense that doesn't score many points. I think those two things in combination. I also think as the total goes down, that's why you're seeing the spread compress also. If there's going to be like no points in the game, then you know what I want? Points with an underdog if there's going to be zero scoring in the game. So usually, not in every game, but almost all the time, you'll see those two things move in tandem. If an under is getting bet pretty hard and there's a big underdog, they'll start getting bet pretty hard. So not surprising, totally. I don't think we get under 3 in the game. That wouldn't really make a lot of sense to me, but you know, I think 3 is kind of where we're going to hang out. So now 3 and 40.5 in a game that that opened 4 and I think 42.5.
Should I give out the prop that I like right now for Giants
and
Washington
please.
On the show?
Yes.
Or should I save
yes,
it
please.
For tomorrow?
Yeah. Well, I'll say I would like you to give it out on the show. Let me just also add, people are like, okay, well, you have CLV because you bet it on Monday and you got +4. Like, what would you do now? Nothing. Nothing is what I would do right now. I think this is the right number in the game. And we'll see if we end up getting off 3 one way or the other. And you have no position. Maybe we can create a valuable bet, but let's see where the number goes.
And also, like we talked about this game yesterday, too. Like, anything above 3 for me is a bet on the, yep. on the Giants. And I'll give a prop out right now. We'll talk about this game, this bet tomorrow, of course, in the Power Hour when we wade into the pool of props. Also, I do about like 74 radio interviews on Thursdays. So I'll give it out on all those as well. Remember Diami Brown? Remember
I do.
Him?
North Tar Heel. Yeah.
Remember we had his anytime touchdown last week. He actually had a bunch of targets and you know, it didn't really go that well. But Diami Brown is the number 2 wide receiver basically right now for Washington. Adam Humphrey's not really involved in this offense. And we'll kind of see like what happens now with Taylor Heinicke under center. But Brown's going to get a lot of run here. against the Dory Jackson, who Jerry Jeudy cooked last week, and we had the Jerry Jeudy over. Deami Brown's yardage prop right now on Bet Rivers is 28.5. You bet your sweet bippy we're going over Deami Brown over 28.5 receiving yards on Thursday Night Football. Ken, let's stay in the NFC East for at least one of these teams as we continue and move.
What more sweet bippy references? Any more sweet bippy references, hopefully? Where does that come from, by the way? Yeah.
That's definitely an expression. Like you bet your sweet bippy on it. I don't
even know what definitely an expression. Yeah, but like what is a bippy? You bet your sweet bippy?
I would guess a bippy is something that you would find in like an old storage container. That would be right.
Yeah, sort of. All right, we got a steel
$1 and $4.
Steel folding chair, that's like $30. And then sweet bippy. That's gonna be just like love it. Love everything about it.
If it's sour, by the way, the bippy is worth $1. If it's sweet, it's worth $5. Just
depends on which taste zone it occupies. Right, very important.
That's exactly right here. You bet BetQL, Nick Costos, Ken Barkley, Wednesday, It Move, Line Movement, NFL Week 2. Ken, what can you tell us, side and total, Dallas at the LA Chargers?
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You hear that? Your dog knows spring is coming sooner than you think. Dog walks, dog parks, playing fetch, all the stuff your dog loves to do with you. But the warmer weather also means that fleas and ticks are coming back. Fleas and ticks are in the grass, in the woods, and even on their dog friends. Fleas are an itchy nuisance, can easily get into your home, furniture, and beds, which can be terrible. Ticks are even worse. They're hard to spot, but can carry disease and get your dog really sick. PetMeds has your furry friend protected with the best products to prevent flea and ticks all year long. PetMeds pharmacists connect directly with your vet to save you time and deliver the best products for your pet. PetMeds offers low prices on all flea and tick meds, including NexGard, Simparica, and more. And PetMeds AutoShip helps you save even more with additional discounts on regular shipments of PetMeds, dog food, and other high-quality supplies. So get ready for all the spring fun now. Visit PetMeds.com and use promo code PODCAST to save 40% on your first auto ship order. That's PetMeds.com and promo code PODCAST.
Really interesting line movement that I kind of disagree with, but that's okay. Like I don't have to be right about everything, and my number definitely doesn't have to be right. But the Chargers are out to a 3-point favorite basically everywhere. This was still the case right before the show. This number opened a little less than that. I was expecting actually for it to move toward Dallas, and this is example number 1,000,000 of some of the time I know what I'm talking about, and some of the time I'm wrong about stuff because the Chargers became a 3-point favorite. I guess somewhat on the heels of winning week one, also on the heels of Dallas with like a little bit more injury news with Lyle Collins and Michael Gallup. But like, I still totally disagree with this. We talked about this in the games I bet yesterday. The total is also very interesting. If you go from Monday to now and like what has been the totals that have moved the most on the board, basically, this is like far and away the winner. Basically like 3.5 points of total movement in this game. 55.5 is the consensus number. There are a couple 55s on the board, but you'll see about 55.5, which puts it alongside Kansas City, Baltimore now as the game with the highest projected total of the week, which is interesting. And, you know, I think partly what we saw with Dallas against Tampa Bay and like the absolute shootout that was that game, how many times Dak Prescott threw, the efficiency that Dallas's pass offense had, and the efficiency with which Tampa was able to score against them kind of, you know, I think gives people the idea that this total needs to be a lot higher. I'm still not even sure if I agree with that, but I guess I agree with that more than the Chargers taking money. But in the interest of just reporting the news for right now, and you know, I like Dallas in the game anyway, Chargers out to 3 everywhere, and the total now an astronomical 55.5.
I'm excited into this game. I'm excited to talk about this game on Friday in that edition of You Better You Bet in the Power Hour. Excited to talk about this game on Sunday, a countdown to kickoff with myself and Ken Barkley. I just think it's really fascinating. I'm not there yet on a pick for this game. I just think like the on-field is so fascinating, especially Chargers defense versus Cowboys offense. So we'll talk about more in this game, obviously, as we move along this week. Ken, let's talk about another sky-high total right now, and that one is in the Pacific Northwest, where Russell Wilson and the 1-0 Seattle Seahawks host Todd Downing, that slap, in the 0-1
like
Tennessee Titans.
It's like, it's not Mike Vrabel, it's not Ryan Tannehill, it's not Derrick Henry, it's not A.J. Brown, it's not Julio Jones, Todd Downing. Love Taylor Lewan and the Tennessee Titans. This number opens 6. I'll do the spread first. The total is a little more interesting, but just full disclosure. So this spread actually opened 6, and Tennessee immediately took some money. We're looking at Seattle -5 right now in the market. And then the total, and like if I interview 100 football fans on the street, ask them what direction they think the total would get bet in Tennessee, Seattle, and be like, do you think it's going to be a lot of points or not a lot of points? They're going to be like 1,000,000 points. So to the surprise of no one, the total has been bet up in the game. Worth noting, we're talking about all this over movement, high scoring games. This looks like the second consecutive week in which weather will not be a factor whatsoever in games that are taking place outside. It's a little too early to say that for sure. Obviously it's Wednesday, but what it looks like right now is not a lot of high wind games, a lot of very, very, very high temperatures, but that's exactly basically what we had last week. So if you're curious about, how come like no unders are getting bet, usually like week 2, week 3, week 4, there's usually like a hurricane game or something and people end up betting the under in that. Looks like weather's going to be fine in all these games. Even in Seattle, which is supposed to have the worst weather, it's like 70. Who cares? The total in this game has been bet up now to 53.5. So, one of the higher totals of the week. And look, I mean, Tennessee basically broke all kinds of NFL records for how bad a defense can be for you to still make the playoffs. They now hold the record in like every statistical category for having the worst defense to ever make a postseason. And then all they do is show up the next, week one the following season and give up 1,000,000,000 points to Kyler Murray, who threw for like 5 touchdowns in the game, or I think had like 5 combined touchdowns.
Yeah, 5 Arizona combined, wins. 4 passing, 1 rushing.
Arizona runs, Arizona obviously runs up the score a lot and Tennessee looks terrible. So, okay, now what's Russell Wilson and, kind of an offense a lot of people are excited about with Seattle. How many points are they going to score on Tennessee? So I don't think surprising, Nick, that, if the total opens 51.5, to see that total movement up in this game, I don't think that's surprising at all.
If Tennessee's offense sucks again, I'm going to do the Fallout Boy. We're going down for Todd Downing and it's going to be awesome coming up next week. Ken, let's sneak one more in here before the break. What about the total in San Francisco and Philadelphia, a game that we're really excited for this weekend?
Yeah, probably the game that I'm the most excited for. And there are other interesting games on the board, but I just think, what is Philly? I think it's just such an interesting question because the ceiling is extremely high. San Francisco, a 3.5-point favorite. That's been true since Monday when the threes disappeared. But the over has also gotten bet in the last 48 hours of this game. So we have yet another total in an NFL game taking place on Sunday in which the total is 50 or greater. And 50 is where the total sits right now. So bet up about, I think, a point from open in terms of a consensus open. So expectation of points, obviously. Philly's offense was, I don't think they were like remarkable in week one, but great on third down, great in the red zone, no turnovers. And then for San Francisco, obviously put up a gazillion points and highest yards per play of the week, basically against Detroit. So maybe an expectation, obviously, for more offense in this game.
Remember, San Francisco secondary banged up now. Jason Verrett done it for the year. Emmanuel Mosley not at 100%. He missed week one. We'll see about the injury report coming up for this game on Sunday. I think it's fascinating. I know you like the Niners in the game, Ken. I think at this point in the week, I maybe like Philly a little bit just because I feel like Philly's defensive strength, stopping the run, and that's what the Niners want to do. But that's another game like the Chargers in Dallas that I am really excited to dive into tomorrow and Friday before our big pick segment to end the week on Friday afternoon. And then we, of course, hit more on Sunday morning with Countdown to Kickoff. More It Moved on the other side here on You Better You Bet on BetQL. We'll talk about the total in the Rams and Colts, the total in the Steelers and Raiders, a little Bears-Bengals, and a little Chiefs-Ravens.
I think it moved.
It's Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on You Better from BetQL.
20 minutes away from Ryan Noonan, the director of betting for 4 for 4, joining us, host of the Move the Line podcast, along with our pal Connor Allen. Ryan's got some prop bets for Thursday Night Football and this weekend in the National Football League. Can't wait to talk to Ryan. Brian Baldinger also joins us in hour number 2. Odyssey Sports NFL Insider, a game of whatever you prefer, wraps up the hour. Evan Silva still to come. Brett McMurphy still to come. Power Hour, Final Hour still to come, including golf bets and day 3 of Lockmas and college football bets this weekend, courtesy of Santa Lockie. But can we wrap up hour number 1 here on You Better You Bet, presented by the Bet River Sportsbook, with a little more It Moved. Let's do a couple other totals here, Ken, where we've got movement in the Rams-Colts total. This one's up to 47.5. I thought this one was pretty interesting. Movement towards the over with the Rams and the Colts.
Yeah, and you mentioned it. I'll also say I'm curious to see where this line goes on Sunday, too. So the total to 47.5. We'll get a little bit more data on scoring in the NFL this season, but I think that goes to, about a league average scoring game. We saw Indy's defense give up explosive plays to Russell Wilson in Seattle. And I think there's a little bit more affinity for the Rams offense off the Sunday night performance. You know, the marriage between Matthew Stafford and Sean McVay, how would it go? Obviously had some deep passes in that game. I think looked better overall than what people were expecting, even though expectations were high anyway. So you have those two things in combination. Maybe Rams expected to score a little bit more. Rams basically still a 4-point favorite. I think there's 1.5 juiced at one sportsbook. I'm really curious to see where this, like, is there any interest left in the betting market for Indianapolis after the offseason and last week? Like, how much interest can there be? You would think, like, oh, like 4 at home, comparable team to what just came into town, but you get a little bit of a better number. Like, maybe you would think there would be a little bit of interest in grabbing that 4, but, like, I can't do it. And you know how I feel about the Colts and kind of what I think they're going to be this year. I'm really curious, like, how the market ends up moving in this game. You would think Indy takes a little bit of money just intuitively, but I wouldn't be the one putting the money in. Let's put it that way.
Well, you know, it's kind of similar to the handicap of Rams-Bears and the movement there. Remember when the total number of points, and I said, like,
sure,
I think that
kind
of indicates to me that a lot of people feel like the Rams are going to score a billion points in this game, right? Because I don't think Indy is going to score a lot of points here. I don't think Indy can keep this game close if it goes over the total. To me, this I feel like the Rams are going to end up taking money here. And after what we saw Seattle do to this Colts defense last week, like, the Rams are going to bomb them in this game with Stafford and the receivers here. Now, the one thing I will say, and I think this is by design, like kind of Brandon Staley did this last year, Raheem Morris probably smart right. to do it again. The Rams are going to allow, they're going to allow you to run the ball a little bit,
yep.
right? David Montgomery had 16 for 108 last week. So it probably stands to reason that, like, Jonathan Taylor could have success on the ground. But I don't know if those are, like, real yards. You know what I'm saying? David Montgomery right. won 16 for 108 and they lost by yeah. 20. So I think
Taylor, Andy Dalton, zero explosive pass plays in the game by design. Like, the Rams don't want to give up
That's
any
exactly
big plays.
Right.
One of the things their defense is the best at, and they're facing a Colts offense.
That is no similar, I would players.
Say. Right. Similar, I would say, to, like, Andy Dalton with the Bears in terms of a capped ceiling, where, like, if the Colts had no explosive pass plays against Seattle, and we don't even know what Seattle's defense really is. Like, we're going to find out a little bit more this week, but, and as the weeks go on, but we don't even really know, like, what was that a benchmark that Indy should have cleared easily and scored a lot of points in? So to have in a home game, to have very few explosive plays of any kind, but especially in the pass game against Seattle, and now the Rams come to town and that's their thing. Yeah. I mean, I could honestly see Indy finishing this game and we get to the end and we're like, wow, they had like 420 yards, 440 yards, and be like, well, what was the final score? Yeah, like 31-13 Rams. Like, I feel like that's actually where we could end up in this game. And you're right to draw the comparison between the Bears Sunday night game.
Yeah, I feel like, again, if over the total, I feel like that bodes very poorly for the Indianapolis Colts. So, like, what are you going to do when you've got banged up offensive line, bad quarterback, no speed at the skill positions? That means you're probably in a spot of trouble going up against the Los Angeles Rams. Ken, we have seen movement in one total that has come down. This one's a little surprising to me as well. Maybe it shouldn't be. The Steelers Vegas total. This one's moved down now, Ken, to 47.
Yeah, really, really interesting. You know, obviously we had Vegas had a number of injury pronouncements. One of them is that their guard Denzel Good is going to be out for the season. That was one of the things that they announced. And for the Steelers, I mean, you have to. It's very interesting to see this total movement, because think about the games that we've talked about so far, right? So Tennessee, Seattle over, Dallas Chargers over, San Francisco, Philly over. Rams to score more, basically, I think, is our projection of that game. And then Vegas, Pittsburgh under. These are all reactions to what the offenses did in week one. Every single one of them. Like, every single one of them is a reaction to what the offenses did. Oh, Pittsburgh looked terrible and didn't score very much. Okay, down. Like, Tennessee allowed a billion. Seattle looked pretty good on offense. Up. Dallas played the craziest high-scoring game against Tampa of all time. Up. Like, I mean, just, like, intuitively, San Francisco scored a billion. Philly, like, blew out Atlanta. Up. You know, it just, the movement, like, perfectly coincides in each situation. That's why I kind of question how smart it is, too, because it coincides in every situation with just what happened in week one with the teams.
Yep.
Like, I just think that's very interesting. And just one note of contrarianism for people out there who are curious about such things. You know, I don't play, like, I don't really have any, like, historical trends to go with totals necessarily, but I try to examine overreaction stuff with totals. I think that's interesting in the first month of the season. Basically, like, weeks 2 through 4, one of the most hilarious trends ever, because it's so obvious, is if two teams go under, what happens? Like, two teams that are facing each other in week two, if in week one they both went under, what happens in the game when they play each other? Over is literally 60% the last 10 years. It's like the simplest, easy to understand, childish thing imaginable. But it's just like, oh, they went under? Oh, and their opponent went under? over. Like, just, but it wins.
Are we taking the over tomorrow night with Giants and Washington?
There are five games on the board, five or six, I think, that fit that description. I was going to save it for the Thursday night game breakdown when we got there, but that is a game that qualifies, let's say. Now, you don't have to just go blind bet these things. Like, it can end at any time. It also does not take into account whatsoever injuries or what the number is in the market or any of this stuff. But, like, it's funny that the two lowest totals on the board, so Giants, Washington's one that qualifies, and Patriots Jets is another one that qualifies. That's the second lowest total on the board. I think those are both very interesting. Sure.
Can we talk about that game for a second? And you know, I texted you earlier. I had it scripted, even though, like, we don't have a lot of movement here. I want to talk about the total here.
Yeah.
42 and a half was last I checked at our show sponsor, Bet Rivers. I love the over in this game.
Well, 42 now in a couple places too. Yeah, go ahead.
Here are some reasons why. I think the Patriots are going to score like 27 points in this game. Mac looked really good against the Dolphins. That's one of the best secondaries in football. And now they go up against one of the worst secondaries in football with the Jets. So I think the Patriots are going to be able to score on offense. And I think Zach Wilson's going to be able to score also for the Jets and also for the Patriots.
And
so
late, let's, too.
Like, yeah. And late. Like, Becton's not there. Pass rush going to get after that ass. He's probably going to put the ball on the turf. He's going to throw some interceptions, right? That's the thing about Wilson's got a little Favre in him, right? Like, I'm not saying he's going to be as good.
Trevor Lawrence has the same thing. Yeah.
So. Yeah. So, like, I think that's going to lead to volatility and potentially lead to points here, right? I love the over in the Patriots Jets on Sunday.
Well, the good news is aside from the over tomorrow night's game at 40 and a half. I mean, you're just, the expectation is like, well, Patriots are going to stifle Zach Wilson. That game against Carolina was so low scoring, like all this stuff. And it's just, it's interesting because you have such incomplete information about the teams. This was partly the handicap of so many of the games we did last week. Like, is the market making an assumption that we want to push back against? Not that we think it's like crazy the opposite, just that we think, well, why don't we just make it average, league average, until we know more, right? So when totals get too high or too low early in a season, when we have incomplete information, like, do you want to try to find spots to push against those things with, like, do we really know yet? So, you know, last week it was, are the differences between these teams really this large in, like, Philly, Atlanta, Arizona, Tennessee, New England, and Miami? The answer in each case was that we were right and the difference was smaller in terms of just how the game played out. But I think with totals, you can do the same thing. And, I mean, I think, Nick, if you're looking for kind of more ammunition to make that bet and to make the over bet tomorrow night, honestly, it would just be that, oh, it's that snap overreaction week 2, 3, 4 kind of a thing where it's just, you know, two teams play very crazy low, you know, not crazy, very low scoring games. Literally just betting the over based on that has been profitable with no other. And think of, there's so many other forms of analysis you could also do in addition to that. But just that starting point, I think, gives you like a launching pad to make some over bets in the games that you're talking about.
I just love the fact also whenever I get after that ass, it always gets a laugh from Ken.
I'm not expecting it. That's why I'm just not expecting it. It's like terrestrial radio, and it's not that it's in like some gray area of language, but it's just like, you know, we clean up our language a lot to go to terrestrial radio, and then every so often you just throw that one in, and I'm not.
Well, it's always preceded by the usage of that word, get after that.
Right.
Not like it after his. It's
got this like
that
slang quality to it. Yeah. It's great. That's right.
Absolutely. And like, just quickly on the Steelers Raiders game, and then we'll move on.
We kind of veered away from that. Sorry about that.
No, but I feel like the Steelers' offense is still a mystery here. Like, was that more about Buffalo's defense last week, Buffalo's defensive line? Was that more Ben Roethlisberger's washed up, which I think might very well be true here? I know some people, Jamie Eisenberg on the show with us yesterday, he likes Ben this week, thinks Ben's going to play well this week. So I still think the Steelers' offense is a mystery. We'll pick this game, obviously, on Friday on You Better You Bet, BetQL, Nick Costos, Ken Barkley, going through line movements in the National Football League from Tuesday into Wednesday for week number two. Ken, let's sneak two in if we can. What about the spread in Cincinnati at Chicago?
This was a game that you and I talked about a little bit. Like, any three for Cincinnati is just like, was so valuable in this game. The problem is it was so valuable to like literally everyone who bets. So there was actually, if you can believe it, what is the Bet Rivers number for this game right now, Nick?
I'd have to check it. I think it actually was 2.5 right before the show.
Okay. I can tell you that Pinnacle this afternoon was hanging Chicago -1 as a bet. Ooh, so basically just like getting closer and closer to a pick. Full disclosure, like Cincinnati 3 and even 2.5 as a teaser, like up, were awesome. I think we talked about that a little bit yesterday, but my projection in the game is Chicago by 0.2. So basically like a pick 'em game. Like if this was the other way,
Bet Rivers. Yeah,
so that's like an easy, and you also have a low total game of 45. So teasing the dog up a little bit more valuable there, not as many scoring plays projected. So the margin between the teams a little tighter, which means 2.5 to 8.5, 1.5 to 7.5, et cetera. Those teaser legs a little bit more valuable. So yeah, those are, the one at Pinnacle is an outlier. Like it's 2.5, 2 basically everywhere. We can just kind of get, we can get ahead of this right now. If you don't have a, I think 3-120 was available all day yesterday. And I think I talked about it last night. If I didn't, I apologize. The good news is the teaser leg dog up is still valuable here. Do a 2-team, keep the second leg open, and we'll see what else materializes throughout the week. I don't think there's a need to tease anything that exists on the board right now. Everything else is hanging out around key numbers.
About a minute left here. Sunday Night Football, Chiefs at the Rams. What can you tell us?
Chiefs and the Ravens.
Ravens. Right? I've said that twice now, Chiefs and the Rams. Chiefs and the Ravens, what can you tell us?
Well, they did play a crazy Monday night game a couple years ago. Spread very interesting in this game. I think it's always going to be over 3 on Kansas City side. I think the total is always going to be astronomical because it's a Chiefs game, and Chiefs games just basically need to be totaled at least in the low 50s, but really the mid 50s. So that's not surprising. But basically, 4s appeared for a while. Chiefs minus 4 was a number in this game in the market, and now consensus number is about 3.5. So I think it's going to hold at like more than 3, total in the mid 50s. You know, for an exact kind of target, I'm not really sure, but just kind of fundamentally, that's where I see the game. And I have it lined a little less than that for Baltimore, but I totally understand why the Chiefs are getting more credit in this spot, maybe than they would have, you know, if different results happened last week. Let's put it that way.
The number can never be 3, right?
Well, it can be. I mean, just probably bet it when it's 3.
Anything
can happen. Yeah. So,
of course. The number could be Baltimore minus 15.
Right. Yeah. The number could be Baltimore minus 71.2. And then they'd have to invent decimals.
In which case, we all get rich. Okay. Right. Hour 1 done. Hour 2 for you. You bet coming up on the other side. A game of whatever you prefer, including which home dog we like more, Philly or Indianapolis, both 3.5 or 4-point underdogs. Brian Baldinger is going to join us, Odyssey Sports NFL Insider. Baldy, one of the absolute best in the business. But we kick it off with Ryan Noonan, the director of betting for 4 for 4 here. On You Better You Bet.
It's You Better You Bet from BetQL. For the latest line movement and edges to beat the spread, download the BetQL app today.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.